All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you know where you're at? Where you are? You know, some people, they know where they are in life and so forth and so on. Other people are still hunting and trying to find out what they should do and who they should be and so forth. But I want us to look at Abraham, or Abram as his name was before God changed it to Abraham. And this is really interesting. And in Genesis 11:31, New King James, it is really, you know, I've read the Bible through several times. I know I've read it through five times with the kids before they left the house. And I never really noticed this. It starts at 31, and Terah, son of, took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out from Ur of Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah was 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now, we see here that it was Abraham's father that started for Canaan before Abraham did. Now, I've read that many times, and I never really noticed it. It's one of those things that you overlook because you hear, well, Abraham was the one that went, you know, you hear it taught, and you don't notice. And, they traveled probably from Ur of Chaldees. They probably traveled northeast along Euphrates River until they came to Haran. And Haran was a trade city that was located in what is now southeast Turkey, about 400 miles from Canaan. Now, we don't know how long they were there. But after the death of Abram's father in Genesis 12:1, now, the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Evidently, it was Abraham's father that God talked to first about going to Canaan, but they didn't get there. He stopped short. Now, that's what happens a lot of times with people. That's why I asked if you know where you're at. They start a direction, and everything is nice, and man, it's really good, and they have a good life, and they just stop there. They don't ever go any further. But God has more for you than that. You know, now if Abraham was going to experience all that God had for him, he evidently was experiencing blessing right there in Haran where he was. But if he was going to experience all that God had for him, he was going to have to leave his present location and go where God told him to go. Now he left and relocated to where God said. Let's go to Genesis 12, pick it up in 4 now. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now, Abram was aware of his location. He had to be aware of where he was if he was going to make his destination. And, our location in life is important, it's vital in the natural that you know where you're going and what your destiny, what you want your destiny to be. And if you're going to be successful, but it's also in the spiritual, we need to understand some things. Years ago, a traveler was convinced that he was on the wrong road. He soon came to a small town where he saw a local man standing on the sidewalk. He stopped and said, "Hey, friend, I'm lost. Can you help me?" The man looked at him and replied, "Do you know where you want to be?" And the man replied that he did. Then he said, "Do you know where you are?" The man replied, "Yes, I saw the name of the town on the sign at the edge of the town." Whereupon the man he was talking to informed the traveler, "You're not lost, you just need direction." Some of you got it, some of you didn't. He said he was lost. He knew where he was in that town. He needed direction to the other town. He wasn't lost. You know, when I read that, the thought came to me, do I know where I am in life? Do you know where you are in life? My destination ultimately is heaven, not right now. But I have to know where I am here, in my natural life and in my spiritual life. You know, location is important. Many people are wandering around through life. Well, the Lord's in control and he knows what I need. So, well, you know, we'll make it somehow. Well, wait a minute. Achieving your dreams in the natural means that you have to go on a journey. And there are many steps along the way. I want you to understand, I'm trying to say to you tonight, if you want to be successful, you can't stay in one place. You have to keep advancing. God has a better life for you than you're living, both naturally and spiritually. Now, you can advance in the job that you're at. You don't have to change jobs. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's some people that get so satisfied with where they are, they never advance. Now, my wife's brother is he's a banker. He owns banks. And he says if he has an individual that is a cashier or a teller, we used to call them, but they're a cashier that's there, and he says, and they stay there for 5 years, he said he knows that they're not interested in moving up. And he says that kind of an individual, you know, they just can't stay there. And he says they move on. Because he wants people that come in and are interested in banking and they start learning about banking and they move up to another position because there's other positions to be filled. And you have to learn some things before you can move up. That's what I'm talking about. You need just don't be satisfied where you're at. Keep moving. Keep being better every year in what you do. You know, don't rest just because you're the best 1 year. You don't rest on that. You have to really work to be the best the next year. You know, because a lot of companies have the employee of the year. Any of y'all ever work for a company that had employee of the year? Let me see your hand. Or they have employee of the month. You know, I was one time, one of my buddies was working at, I don't know, a grocery store or something. I believe it's a grocery store, sacking groceries. When I was in high school, junior high school and high school, they had what they call sack boys. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you don't know what I'm talking about? Well, now I've got 10 hands that don't know what I'm talking about, and I got about 75 or 80 hands that know what I'm talking about. Are the rest of you here? Or are you already checked out? How many of you know about sack boys at the grocery store? That's what I thought. Yeah. Well, they had the employee of the month at the store. And he was so excited, he said, "Man, I've won Employee of the Month 4 months in a row." And the next time I saw him, he said, "Yeah," he said, "I got promoted. I'm not there because the sack boy would sack the groceries, then take it to your car and load it up for you. That doesn't happen anymore. You even check yourself out and sack your own groceries." But he said, "I got promoted. Now I am over all of the sack boys and I got to make sure that everything's going right," you know. He was interested and not just staying where he was. In the natural, you need to be interested in not just getting this comfortable. You need to be move on. I am only satisfied with the satisfaction that I can do more. Now, y'all all start shutting down on me, but I'm talking to you about some good stuff tonight. Come on now. Now that was all. I like to have natural and supernatural working together. I want to talk about the spiritual part now. Let's get down. You got to identify your spiritual location. Well, we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then we go to Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved and raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's important. Underline that. That in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his graces and his kindness toward us in Christ. Now, these verses tell you where you are spiritually. Spiritually, you're located in Christ through salvation. We said that's 2 Corinthians 5:17. All of you know it. How many of you know 2 Corinthians 5:17? I'm sure glad. Man, I don't know. I trust y'all know that. Spiritually, we're located in Christ, together with Christ. But we are also located with him because it says that made us. Who's us? You, me, your friend, your wife, your kids. Made us, if they're born again, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, I'm talking about you know where you're at, where you are. We're not located in, we live in this world, but we're not located here. We're not positioned to be under all the junk and problems of life. We are seated in Christ, sitting with him in heavenly places. That means we are far in a far better location than we realize. We're located in the place of revelation and knowledge. We are located in the place of victory and triumph. We are located in a place of spiritual authority. We are located in a place of all we need. Once you know your location in Christ, know that you're seated with him in heavenly places, then you can live differently. You live a successful life. We live a worry-free life. I got a little book back there called How to Live Worry-Free, if you want to find out how to do that. But in Christ, you should be worry-free. Now, that means that there's a lot of difference between concern and worry. You need to be concerned about some things, but you don't need to worry about them. You know, how many understand what I'm saying to you? We live a life that is full of abundance, because he said, I want you to have life and have it more abundantly. See, you know, when you begin to really understand you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, where is that? It's at the right hand of the Father. Go to Ephesians 1:20. Ephesians 1:20. This should start getting some of you excited. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities and power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in age which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, I want you to notice, he said he made him to sit there. Did you read that? Has seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now you go read the other in Ephesians 2, there in verse 6. Raised us up together and made us to sit together with him in heavenly places. So Christ is far above all the demonic forces. He's seated far above everything that has a name. He's seated where all things are under his feet. That's where Christ is right now. And if that's where Christ is, then that's where we are. Spiritually, I'm talking about. We are located far, far above all of this stuff. There's not a name that can be named that's not under our feet. See, you got to recognize who you are in Christ and begin to live there. Call those things that you don't see as though they are, because that's where you're at. We're with him. Now, that's great knowledge to know that's where we're at. Well, that's great. But we got to learn to walk in the light of the place that we're at. Galatians 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Here, Paul's simply saying that we need to walk in the light of our life in the spiritual realm. Now, all of these are Paul's writings. Ephesians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st Thessalonians, all of them are his writings. Now, in his epistles, he has what we call the Pauline revelation. Now I'm going to school with it now. I'm getting theological with you. This is called the Pauline revelation. The Pauline revelation simply is just the teachings of Paul, and what it means is the Pauline revelation that he reveals in the Word is who we are in Christ after we've been born again, and what we have because we're in Christ. My dad used to tell people, it's great to read the Bible. You need to read all of it, but you need to live. Now, this is what he'd say. You need to live in the epistles, especially Paul's. That's where you need to live, because he tells you how to live in victory. And look at this. Walk in the light of being who we are in Christ. Walk in the light of the fact that we are seated with Christ spiritually in heavenly places. See, it's not enough just to know about this spiritual location. We've got to walk in the knowledge of being with Christ. Here it comes in. Not just a hearer, but a doer. You've heard that many times. Oh, just don't be a hearer of the word. Be a doer of the word. How many of you heard that? Well, we need to be a doer of the word, not just in faith, believing God. We need to walk in our place in Christ. That's where the blessing is. That's where the blessing is. Many people live far below their position spiritually. Now, I didn't say they weren't born again. They are. I've heard my dad talk about this many, many times. But they live under the cares and the burdens of life. They live in the fear of what might happen to them. They struggle with problems. And yet their biggest problem is that they don't know that they're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and they have authority over all of this stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to come in and he's not going to steal from you and cause some problems in your life, but you learn to realize to walk over them and go ahead and live who you are in Christ. Just because the devil came in and stole something, it's like a fighter. He can get knocked down, and he may get to 8 count, but he gets up. If he don't get up by the count of 8, it's over. But he gets up, and he gets back in the fight and wins the fight. Just because the enemy won a round doesn't mean that he can win the fight. When we know our spiritual location with Christ. Where is our spiritual location with Christ? We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're seated where Christ is, spiritually. Well, and then when we understand that, instead of being in defeat, we walk in victory. Instead of yielding to the flesh and temptation, we walk in triumph over temptation. Now, just because you're born again, filled with the Spirit, jump, holler, scream, run, do all that stuff, that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to tempt you. Because he's going to keep coming at you. You got to learn how in Christ, hey, you're under my feet, boy. Don't mess with me, I'm going to kick your teeth out. Now, I'm using terms that we are familiar with, but that's what we need to do when we deal with the enemy. Hello? You there? Instead of being under the burdens, we need to cast all our burdens on him. That's what Peter tells us to do. And walk worry-free. Instead of being sick all the time, let's walk in health and healing. We don't have to have lack and poverty. We can walk in blessing, the blessings of God. We don't have to be bound by Satan because we walk in authority over him. See, you need to be conscious of this, and you need to understand and talk about it. Talk about, when you talk about something, it becomes more and more real to you. You know, we need to consciously talk about this. We need to talk about being seated with Christ in heavenly places. Then we can triumph over sickness and disease. How many of you are getting anything out of this? Y'all are awful quiet tonight. Hallelujah. You know, you don't have to deal with the mountains that show up. You can deal with the mountains, is what I'm trying to say, that show up. You can overcome everything that the enemy brings against you because of where you're seated. Now we have what he's given us, some things to use on our journey. The Word of God. What is the Word of God to us? It shows us our spiritual place in Christ. It shows us what we have in Christ. It shows us what we can do because we're in Christ. We have Jesus Christ. His redemptive work at Calvary has given all this unto us. We have the Holy Spirit to help us and to guide us. You know, when you face challenges and problems, and you will, train yourself to be conscious of your position, where you're at. You know, When you think about this, and we begin to look from our spiritual perspective of being above, then we look at things differently. When you down here in the middle of it, it's hard to see. You know, you can watch a football game or what racing, car racing especially, and they show a high picture and the guy gets in trouble and he wrecks, and you can see, well, why didn't he go here? Or you ever been watching a football or a basketball game and you see the guy, he cut this way, if he'd have cut the other way, he would have been open to run for a touchdown. Anybody ever notice that? He wasn't aware that his focus was here instead of, oh, what makes a good running back? And they were talking about this the other day, is when he is running with a ball, he's not tunnel vision. He's looking at the whole spectrum, and he can make cuts and get through there. I've watched guys, I know the play is designed to go off tackle, but they go into there and it's jammed up. All they had to do is take one step and go over here and it was open. But they went where the play was called because that's where they were looking. See, we've got to begin to look at all of our situation from a higher point of view. You ever notice how much more prettier something looks when you look down on the city from up on the mountainside, and then you get down there in the middle of the city, and it's not quite as pretty as it was when I looked down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on. See, when we're up there seated with Christ in heavenly places, we see the devil for what he really is, defeated. When we're down here in the middle, we don't see him as defeated. We're intimidated by him. But we're up here, we see him as defeated. We see Christ defeating him. You know, just this past few weeks ago, you know, we were over in Europe. And we flew over the Alps. And as you fly there, the Alps is one of the tallest, or taller maybe should be, mountain ranges that we have in the U.S. And you know, I had to drive through those one time, drive from Wales, Austria to Verona, Italy, because the windshield on our aircraft cracked and they had to take it to Munich to get it fixed. And we had to be down there for the meeting, so they drove us there. It took most of the day, and we drove through those, man. And it's a feat to do that. I mean, you drive through the Rockies, it sometimes becomes a feat, especially if you get on some of those off roads off the interstate, on those small state roads and stuff. And sometimes you're going around the corner and it don't even look like, and there's a 1,000-foot drop off and it don't look like two cars can pass. I've really been in that situation when I was overseas in the service. But you see, when we flew over those, we had no problem. I looked down there they were. We're flying, oh, high, right over the top of them. You see, the devil's under your feet. That's the way God wants us to look at things, from our place of being seated in heavenly places in Christ. You know, life is a whole lot better when you know where you are in Christ. Amen. Anybody get anything tonight? Everybody stand up. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to start looking from a different perspective. because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you're going out my door sometime and I asked you where you are, you better be able to tell me. Hey, where are you, Jay? Seated in Christ in heavenly places. See, he almost didn't get it because I sort of froze him there. Where are you? What does that mean? That the devil is under our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Raise your hands and thank God, because you know where you're at. You know your place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, did you do first time guess? If you're a first time guest with us, I'd like to know about it. You see this connection team getting in the aisle? We want to connect with you. So if you're a first time guest with us, not raise your hand. We want to give you some information over here on the other side of there. And we want you to fill out just go ahead and take them and get them to fill it out. If you take them to the place where I want you to go to a connection team, y'all go with our connection people to, we got a special place. We'll give you a special gift. So we got some more people here. Get them all and let's go take them to the place right now. If you're a first time guest, go with them to that special place where they can receive their special gift. If you're looking for a church home, why don't we say church? Welcome home. So glad to have you with us tonight. You chose to be with us. We thank you for that. Praise the Lord. Give them a hand as they go. Give that special gift we got for them. Some of y'all don't know it, but it is really a nice gift that we give. It's not just a junk pile gift. It's a good one. It's not just one CD. It's a nice gift package. Okay. Hey, remember, we need people that would help us with the grounds on Thursday from 8:30 to noon. And then remember, get your bulletin and come to the races Friday night at Creek County Speedway. You can go on the internet and look it up, and then it'll give you directions to get there. If you're in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is to serve Christ, but you're not exactly where you should be, you need to rededicate your life. The ladies are here. The men are here. As we're dismissed, come down here. They'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason whatsoever, you want to receive the Holy Spirit, want somebody to agree with you in prayer about a job, you need prayer for some other reason, if you need prayer for any reason, come to the front, and they'll pray with you. Amen. Shake hands with everybody and ask them where they're at and see what they can tell you. We'll see you Sunday right here at 10 o'clock. Come believe and come expect it.